Yes, Mr. President.
He does. Please proceed.
Senator, now you represent an area that's a little, well, a neighbor to mine, but also farther north. And once again, even though we have a neighboring area, you also have an area that borders Kansas. And you probably see even more of the loss of jobs over the Kansas border than do I.
Well, there is a lot of that. A lot of jobs are going to Kansas simply because of the fact that we don't have a right-to-work law in the state of Missouri.
And so tell me just a little bit more about your take on that, because I know you're a physician. I know you have a methodical, you have a very logical way of thinking about arriving at a conclusion, and I know that this was something that you gave a lot of thought to.
Well, it was the same things that you've been talking about. I was on the committee that heard your bill, and you know, we heard from the consultant of the company that recommends business ventures that are going to be going into various states.
Right.
And they said that half, 50% of the people that they are contacted by say their number one criteria is the state a right-to-work state? And if it's not, they don't even consider it. So Missouri loses out on half of them right off the top.
Right.
And in the other half, about half of them have it as a high priority that it not be a right-to-work state for them to go there because it's just a hassle factor for them. And so Missouri has lost out tremendously, you know, over the years because of the fact that that it isn't a right-to-work state. You know, one of the states that changed their law was Oklahoma. And I have here a report about Oklahoma. And if you'd like, Senator, I'd like to read just a little bit of it.
Let me have the data that you have. Yeah, that'd be great.
I'm sorry?
I said I'd like to know what you've got there. Yeah.
Okay. This report is about the state of Oklahoma, and it says that from 1984 through 1994, the decade before the committee program to pass a right-to-work law in Oklahoma was initiated, private sector employment in Oklahoma increased by less than a third as much as the national average, according to the U.S. Labor Department. Over that same decade, inflation-adjusted U.S. Commerce Department data show Oklahoma's real personal income grew by just 2.3%, less than a tenth of the nationwide percentage gain. And then it goes on to talk about what happened in 1994. The seeds of change were planted when, thanks to the lobbying and citizen mobilization efforts, 12 new avowed foes of compulsory unionism were elected to the Oklahoma legislature. Also in 1994, unabashedly pro-right-to-work candidates were elected as governor, lieutenant governor, and labor commissioner. And then it says that from 1995 to 2001, the year the right-to-work law was finally adopted, private sector employment in Oklahoma grew by 15.2%, 14% more than the overall national increase. Sooner's real personal income grew by 24.1%, outpacing the national average. And Oklahoma, as you know, was the most recent state to enact a right-to-work law. And since that time, they have been the number one growth economy of all the states.
And that is startling information. I mean, when you've got that kind of information with a growth in an economy, and I realize that they continue to look at more things. I know the new Oklahoma governor campaigned on working on restructuring their whole tax structure, maybe getting rid of the income tax, moving over to a sales tax. But nonetheless, that in and of itself gives us a snapshot of even in a tough economic time. I realize, you know, I suppose it all levels itself out because we came up to 2008 and then all of a sudden we crash. Mm-hmm. But even with that, they had growth in personal income. They had job growth.
Right. And there is so much information that shows that areas that have right to work grow faster than areas that don't. And then you can look at the cities that have that are in states that have right to work. They grow faster and do better than cities that are in non-right to work states.
And as the senator from Stoddard noted, we have a lot of budget woes directly due to the fact that we have so many unemployed Missourians. Now, the whole issue, you'd mentioned the phrase compulsory unionism, and I know sooner or later we're going to have some opponents standing up here saying there is no such thing as compulsory unionism in the United States. And I take issue with that, because if the union comes in and negotiates to be the exclusive bargaining agent, then that is exactly what they have bargained for. Every person who comes to work there through that exclusive bargaining agent contract, they do bargain for them. But that's because that's what the union contracted for.
Right, and they don't have to do that, as we
heard.
No, they
don't.
As we heard, and, you know, we heard conflicting testimony. One was from a Mr. Gladney. You remember, he was the attorney.
I remember him.
And
yeah.
And he said that that there were free riders and that under the law they would have to bargain for everyone. And so I asked him for the cases, which then I went and obtained those cases, and those cases are not on point. They one of them was from Missouri, and it was a Missouri case, and it wasn't at all on point. It didn't say, the court's ruling didn't say anything about that issue, nor did the other one that he gave me. So I wrote and I asked the National Right to Work Organization, and they sent me information that of their legal opinion that basically said that you can have members-only contracts, and it's just that they are not common because the union doesn't want them.
Right, and that's, I think that is a key point right there. The unions, when they come in and become and take that contract for an exclusive bargaining agent, they are signing themselves up to be the exclusive bargaining agent and to represent everyone. They don't have to bargain for that. They can bargain for a members-only contract, but they generally don't want that.
They can, and you know, it doesn't have to be that there are free riders. And that was an important point to me. You know, I thought that it was very important to sort that out, and I think that I did sort that out.
Well, that's important, because I was just on a talk show a little bit earlier today, and the whole issue, I'm just going to call it the freeloader issue, came up, that apparently there is some opinion out there that the union members will not belong to the union, they won't pay their union dues, and they'll freeload on the backs of other people who are paying their union dues. But that has not been the experience in right-to-work states. And so if that be the... Once again...
As much as we enjoy everyone to come and listen to the debate, we need to maintain the decorum of the Senate, so please keep outbursts, commentary, laughter, and things to a minimum while the senators debate. Thank you.
Senator, you know, I agree with the senator from Stoddard. It's just really kind of nice to have people here and participating. Not participating, maybe that'd be a bad thing, but it is kind of nice to have people actually paying attention.
Yes, so, it is.
And also, once again, it's part of the freedom and the fairness that's going to happen here is that I've talked to some other people, and we'll have an opportunity for other folks that, you know, that they can have their say.
Well,
but
Senator,
we need to get some of this information out.
I voted for this bill not because I want to hurt unions, but because I want to help the state of Missouri. And this bill has the potential to help the state of Missouri and help the workers in Missouri, because there wouldn't be any workers if there weren't the businesses to support them.
Absolutely.
And if we attract more businesses, good jobs, there will be more jobs available for the workers. And this proposal, that your bill, it doesn't say that anybody can't be in the union. We already have right to work in Missouri for our state employees.
Right.
They don't have to be in the union when they're a member of the state union. So we already have right to work, and it seems to be working fine for those in the state employees. So, you know, all this bill really says is that you have the freedom to decide. If you believe that the union is representing you well, you would join. And if you don't think that the union is representing you well, and by the way, we have data that a significant number of union members would rather not pay their dues, then you wouldn't have to. You would have freedom. But as it is, there is forced unionism on the individual level. If you work at a factory or at a business where the union has the contract, I'm sorry, but if you don't pay your dues, you're not going to get to work there.
No, they show you the door. And that apparently is a major, major problem with regard to not only worker freedom and their right to associate with who they want to, work where they want to, but it's also apparently a major factor in our ability to attract jobs.
So I guess what I'm saying is that in states where they have right to work, the unions are still flourishing, so we're not really hurting them. And in states where they have right to work, the employees have the freedom to choose. But in states where they have right to work, they have more businesses going to their state. They have the development of more jobs. So I just don't understand why workers wouldn't want that for Missouri.
Well,
I mean, don't they want to have more jobs?
Well, apparently the workers in Kansas are very content to stay and grow in Kansas because Missouri lost population. and yet all they have to do is move across the street in a large area. Senator, I know that you're quoting from some studies, and I know you've told us where those studies came from. I want to get something out here that there may be in the future somebody who's going to quote from a study from the Economic Policy Institute. Now, I wanted to know where the Economic Policy Institute, where they were coming from and who was on their board of directors and what was happening. And so anything from the Economic Policy Institute is very suspect because when I looked at their board of directors, it was made up of people who have a vested interest in the outcome of the study because they're largely union members. I do have a study that was performed by Zogby and the Mackinac Center, and I'll tell people where I get these studies. I don't have any problem doing that. As far as I know, Zogby, well recognized. They poll Republicans, Democrats, liberals, conservatives, and the question was asked of union population, do you think it is fair or unfair for a worker to lose their job if he or she refuses to pay dues to or support a union? Fair was 32%, unfair was 63%. 63%. That's amazing to me. And I'll share that study with anyone who wants to try to pick it apart. But that is the heart and soul of what we're getting to, is not that unions can't exist, because they do exist. They exist and they do well in 22 states. I don't believe that the opponents to this legislation would seriously stand before us and say there's absolutely no sense in having a union or belonging to a union in those 22 states that are right-to-work states. Frankly, because it just wouldn't be true. They choose to belong and they work well for their members there. But, Senator, I don't know, what would you have to say in conclusion to all of this? Because I know, again, you've served in the House, you've been around these halls for a while, us try different economic development devices.
Well, my feeling is just, once again, is that this isn't about hurting unions. Unions are good. They have their place. They have helped a lot of people. And this isn't about hurting them. This is about helping the workers by making Missouri a more vibrant economy and bringing more good-paying jobs to Missouri, and this will help to do it. That's what it's all about.
Very good. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. President.
Senator.
I would like to inquire the Senator from Howell.
Senator from Howell